Roll. Okay. We are up to Shmos. We started over here, it's on the screen. We're up to Pasik. Vayakam el chodosh al mitzrem asher lo yodes Yosef. That's what we're up to, I believe. Pasik Ches. Okay, Pasik Ches. Yeah. Okay, let me put everyone on mute so we can. One second, hear us. One moment. Okay, here we go. Vayakam melech chodosh. Vayakam melech chodosh. Al mitzrayim asher lo yodes Yosef. New melech rises up to power that does not know Yosef. Rashi, pasuk ches, short Rashi. Vayakam melech chodosh, the famous Rashi. Rav Shmuel machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Disagreement. Chad omar, chodosh mamish. It was a new king. But Chad omar, it's the same old king. He renewed his decrees. Asher lo yada. What then does Asher lo yada? Osa atzmai ki ilu lo yada. He made himself as if he did not know. I'm sure you all know the joke by now. Okay, I don't want to insult anyone who's a very strong supporter of Biden. But vayokam el chodosh, in a few days, we're going to have el chodosh. Asher lo yada. Put the period after the word Yoda. What's his name? His name is S. Yosef. His name is Joe. Did you hear that joke? Okay, I don't want to ruffle anyone's feathers, who's a strong Democrat here. All right, but in any event, Rashi Uriah says some very important words, and now let's see what the Targum says, Vayokam el chodosh al Mitzrayim v'kom. Kam means it rose up. Malko chadata, new king al Mitzrayim adolah mekayem gezeras Yosef. This is a famous targum because it's not what it says in the pasuk. The pasuk says asher lo yada es Yosef. What does the targum over here mean? Deloy mekayem, he did not.
The NSA bounced me out when you said that joke.
What happened?
The NSA bounced me off the computer.
The NSA bounced you off the computer.
Yeah, but okay. It's not a joke because you know it came with him. All the Marcus came with him.
All the Marcus
came with him.
All right, Hashem Yirachim. Deloy mikayim gezeras Yosef. What does this mean here that the new king did not fulfill the gezer of Yosef? So let's see over here the tari, over here the parish on the side. This is a very, very famous. Let's see how he explains it over here. Over here we have over here pasik has the law. Mikayim, he did not fulfill the gezeras Yosef. What's that going on? The pasuk doesn't say anything about the gezeras. It says asher lo yada es Yosef. Rashi explains nasa atzmai ki ilu lo yada. He does not remember Yosef. What would there be to remember about Yosef? Yosef, you have to remember. If not for Yosef, they wouldn't be in Egypt. They all would have died. They all would have died in starvation. They would have perished in the years of famine. The Egyptians owe Yosef their lives to him. So he was a kofui toif. This is how Rashi learns. Targum doesn't say that. Gezeras Yosef Hoysa, he writes over here, Sheyiyu Shoivsim B'Shabbos Umolim Es B'deihem. Now where does it say that? I'm not so sure I know where it says that. That Yosef made a gezera. Okay, also by the way, the word gezera, this is Rimzei Rabbeinu Yoel Ala Torah. I don't know who Rabbeinu Yoel is. I'm not even sure what the sefer this is. I don't know where he's quoting from. Rabbeinu Yoel, this a Rishon? Is this, I don't know. I don't know where he's quoting from. But I trust the person who wrote the sefer knows what he's doing. And he writes here that Yosef made a gzera that the Jewish people should be permitted to be free on Shabbos. Shomer Shabbos. And number two, he made a law that they should be permitted to have bris milah. This new king has decided to revoke Shabbos and to revoke bris milah. Okay, I'm not sure where he's getting this from because this seems to be at odds with a lot of things that we learn. Another thing I want to point out is the word gezeras typically means an evil decree. The word gezeras, you can if you really want, you can force the word gezeras to mean a law, something which is neutral, maybe even something that is positive. But generally, the word gezera has a bad connotation. And it's curious as to why the Targum selected the word gezeras over other words which he could have used to express a law or a decree that was enacted by Yosef HaTzadik. Okay, this is what he quotes over here. Obviously, he quotes this. He holds this to be very authentic. Shabbos and Bris Milah. Then he says, V'yesh Mefarshim, the Ksivit says, V'yosem oiso Yosef l'choik. What was this? What was this? This goes back to in Parshas Vayechi, where the Egyptians sold their souls to the land. They first he gave them grain. Then there was more starvation, until ultimately the people, they sold their neshamos, their bodies, to Paro, and by doing so he enabled them to live. So that's a very complicated parasha, that section of the parasha Vayechi, what that means exactly. And he writes over here a little bit over here, Shelo yiyu gufam konu l'paroi, ela sheyiyu ko'arisim. Now, everything he says over here is a perish, because what the pasuk there in parasha Vayechi means is subject to a lot of interpretation. There are many perishim as to what it means there. Here, in this perish that we're learning today, he's telling us his interpretation. His interpretation is, and he's giving it from, he's obviously taking this from somewhere, is that Yosef, when the famine was brutal, it got to a point where they were in a very desperate state. Yosef did not go so far to purchase the Egyptians as slaves. In fact, he enacted that no Egyptian should be sold as a slave to Paro. You think Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves? The first one to free the slaves was Yosef. Yosef enacted Shelo yugum konu l'paro, ela shiyu ka'arisim v'yidnu chomesh, and instead they should be sharecroppers to Paro. And every sharecropper, there should be a tax, 20% flat tax. There was a flat tax. Every single person you paid, no matter rich or poor, 20% tax to Paro. That's how we set the society. And that's what it means in Parashas Vayechi, Vayosem oiso Yosef l'choik. Now, question. Is this pasuk Vayosem oiso Yosef l'choik in reference to his brothers, the children of Yaakov, or is this a reference to the entire land of Egypt? I think we can simply assume that it refers to the entire Egypt. He established it as a law in the land, and the way he's explaining this is a critical pasuk. There will be no slavery in Egypt. Even though the people have been reduced to a desperate situation where they were willing to allow themselves to be sold as slaves to Paro in order to survive, in order not to starve to death, Yosef did not allow that. He did not allow the humiliation of the Egyptian people to be sold as slaves, but instead they worked out an agreement where they would all be what we call today a sharecropper, where they would be indebted to the master, to the lord. They would be serfs. Egypt would be the lord, and the land would basically be the possession. It would be owned. It would be the property of, I'm not even sure, the sharecropper, the property of Egypt. It would be the property of Egypt, and the people would work the land for the country, and they would take for themselves, it seems, 4/5, and would give the government 20% tax. But the land, by the way, is not owned by the people. When you're a sharecropper, that means that you do not have possession. You do not have ownership of the property upon which you work. You toil and labor in the land, and you give a significant portion to the owner of the land, but you get to keep, but you keep the rest. This was his law that he passed. The new king that rose up, he canceled that system, that economic system that Yosef put into place according to the way he's learning Pshat in this Targum, which is very powerful. Very powerful idea. We'll explain in a moment why. Shelo yu gufam konu l'paroi, ela shiyu ka'arisim, v'yidnu chomesh, and they would all give a fifth to Paro. And he seems, it says the Ramban says this, okay, this idea. The new king, he canceled this law. Now here's what throws me off, because I, in my little mind, always thought that this pasuk vayosim oisa Yosef lechoik was a law that he passed for the land, for the Egyptian population, and this has nothing to do with his brothers, with the Jewish people. And maybe that's fine. Maybe it's consistent. And what he means over here, Vamelech Chodesh Bitl Gzerzu V'Shibah Yudim Kavodim, it means he was Meshabed them as slaves, just like he was Meshabed, he enslaved other members of society. But the first thing that this new Paro had to do was to cancel the law, change the constitution that states that slavery is illegal. He had to pass new legislation and have it passed by both chambers, that of the government. I'm just using the American terms here. I'm joking around, but as you understand, he had to pass laws that would allow the Egyptian in the Egyptian society to allow slavery. And what was his kavana? His intent was not that he really wanted to enslave his own people. He just wanted it to be available, this technique of slavery, to be permitted so we can one day actually enslave the Jewish people. Now, this is an amazing thing. Where do you learn something like this? Is to say that, look what he's saying over here, before we even read further. He's telling us, we all know that when he came out of Mitzrayim, it's Yitzias Mitzrayim is Avodai Heim V'lo Avodim L'Avodim. We were Avodim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. We were slaves for Paro and Mitzrayim. That's the whole how God is built upon this foundation. We were slaves. We have to say, what? We were slaves? What are you talking about? Slavery was illegal in Egypt. Go to Parshas Vayichi. Read the Pasuk. It's where it says, Vayosem Oiso Yosef Lechoik. Read the parasha. It's vague. It's not really clear in the psukim that this is what happened, but this appears to be how the Ramban and other commentators understand the entire the discussion, where the people were dirt poor, and the society, and it was a very reasonable idea to preserve society where people would be taken as slaves to the government, and Yosef said no. That's not what we're going to do. We're not going to destroy society by making people slaves. We're going to set up a different system of government, a different system for the country where people can have some dignity as not being slaves. And the people were greatly indebted to Yosef for this. And now Yosef dies, a new king rises up, and the new king is Seif Maisa b'machshav v'techila. He wants to enslave the Jews. First problem is slavery is illegal. So what does he do? Asher lo yoda es Yosef. What is Asher lo yoda es Yosef? Targum. He adds a lot into these words. He went and he lobbied Congress. He enacted a legislation to cancel, to change the constitution, which to permit slavery. It has to be legal. He succeeded. They voted. He won. Slavery is now legal. So you could imagine all of the Jews were sitting at home. All right, big deal. Doesn't affect us. What do we care? So we're not slaves. We're rich. We have plenty of money. We have bitcoins and Swiss bank accounts. We're not worried about these things. So they're slaves. That's all for the Nebuchs out there in society. Really? In a very short period of time, the situation, the hatred that the Egyptians had for the Jewish people escalated, where they used this legal loophole of slavery to enslave the Jews, to fulfill va'avodom ve'inu oisam. According to the Targum, here is where it all started. Asher lo yoda es Yosef. Targum, Deloy Kiyem D'lo mekayem gezeras Yosef. He was no longer fulfilling the law of Yosef. What was the law? That slavery is illegal. No more. Slavery is legal. That was the first obstacle Paro needed to pass in order to proceed to enslave the Jewish people. Okay, that's, by the way, that's the second pshat we learned so far. Remember, the first pshat he said was Bris Milah and Shabbos, which in my little mind is very challenging because it seems like they did have Shabbos. We actually discussed that today in great detail. They did have Shabbos. And Bris Milah, where do we find? I'm really not familiar with this. Where do we find there was no Bris Milah? There was a law, no Bris Milah? Okay, if he writes this, it says it somewhere. He didn't make things up over here. He's not like me. The person who wrote this, he knew what he's talking about. Let's go further. It's a shame this person, he died not that long ago. The person who wrote this sefer that I'm reading from, he died very recently. Not from Corona. He died about a year ago, 2 years ago, not that long ago. Okay, this sefer they're learning from, it was put out over many, many years, and there were many editions. And they write in the Hakdama to this edition, that it's sad he did not get to see the last edition. He prepared the manuscript for the last edition, made all the changes, all the Hosafos, and he died before it actually was published. Okay, let's go further. Avlam Shuz Yudim Kavodim, and here we go over here, find that. So this is amazing. I think this is really amazing stuff. Now this is what he says, and if you go take out some good Saran Chumash, I wish I had time these days. I don't know if it's hard, but this is something that in all of the Jewish Sfarim, they love to talk about. It's a very popular topic in these Sfarim, these type of Sfarim that, the Verluch Sfarim, that have ideas, original, creative ideas. They will definitely draw from this Targum Unkelus that says here, D'lo mekayem gezeras Yosef. We just touched the surface, but at least we appreciate imachlekes, Rashi, and Unkelus as to what this means. Rashi learns, nase atzmai ki'ilu lo yoda. Rashi doesn't explain what that means. The simple understanding of that is that he was a kofui toif, Yosef saved Egypt. Yosef was a celebrity, and the first thing you do when you do to be makir toiv, this is a very probable Muslim in general, is you're good to the person's children. And this is Ketayim, just to mention this idea. According to Rashi, what's the big deal? So he doesn't know Yosef. Yosef's dead. Who cares? No, here's the difference. When you want to be makir toiv to somebody, what is the ultimate gift you can give a person? Give them money, give them kavod. What are you going to do for a person already? Especially a person that has enough to live on. He has a pension, and he has what he needs. What are you going to give him? Some kavod? All imaginary. Are you going to honor him by a dinner? It's all pocus. It's all imaginary. It's all hocus pocus. What are you going to give him? You know what you give him? You're good to his children. When you bestow kindness upon a person's children, there is no greater gift than that. So here, who's Yosef's children? Ephraim and Menashe, and I guess the whole Klal Yisrael, his family are his children. So that's the ultimate kofui toif. The person who is responsible for your saving your life, for preserving this country, you take him, his family, his descendants, the people that mean everything to him, and you just enslave them. There is no greater form of ingratitude than this. Vayoymer el Amoy. Yosef, the king Paro, says, El Amoy to his nation, he may behold, Am, b'nei Yisrael, Rav, v'otsum mimenu. And this is a very hard word. I never knew what this word means. I never could figure this out. I don't know grammar. I wish I knew some more grammar. But mimenu means from greater, mimenu from them. Isn't that what it means? They're greater, more numerous. Mimenu. What does that mean? How do you translate the word mimenu? It should be from, in English we like to translate it, make believe, more than us. They are more greater, and they are more mighty. What should it say? I'm not even sure I know what it should say. Mimeni, that means from me. Me'oisonu? There's something not right about this word. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I wish I knew grammar a little bit better. But the word mimenu over here does not really fit well in the context of the pasuk. He means to say that the people of the Jewish people, they're greater and they're more mighty, mimenu, than what? Than us? Then the word mimenu is not the right word. There are better words than the word mimenu, than us. So what does mimenu refer to? Let's see. Pasuk tes and Rashi. There is no Rashi. How do you like that? There's no Rashi. Targum. V'amar li ameh, he said to his people, ha, behold, amo b'nei shol segan, we had it already many times, segan means rav, v'sokfin, they're mighty, they're powerful people, they push you around, mi na no. What does that mean? I don't know. So let's see how he translates it over here. Okay, first he says segan, sogan, v'sokfin, Sagan means Rav, they're numerous and they're mighty. Now he's reading over here something into the grammar of Targum. And he says, Misrabim umisatsnim. The word Sagan and the word Visokfin, it doesn't say Sigan. Okay, these are very fine nuances, which if not for this safe, I would never pick up. He seems to be saying is that what he really should have said is either Sigan, he'll give us another word, he'll say over here Sigiin, okay, he'll give us over here, you know, he'll give there are many different types, but let's just the very simple. Usikofin. It should really say, in my limited vocabulary, I would think it would say it's Sigan, Usikofin. That would be a noun. Or not really, now it'd be an adjective. They are numerous and they are mighty. But that's not what the Targum said. The Targum, the Nikud, the way these words are pronounced and the way they're spelled is Sogan v'sokfin, which is a binyan, it's a binyan of, I'm not even sure which binyan it is, but it means they are active. They're actively misrabim, Umis Atzmin. They are getting larger in number and they are becoming more mighty by the day. Their numbers are increasing. This is what, let's see, Tergum Rav Yotzu B'Loshon Poyel. It's a verb. It's active. This is not just an observation that they are numerous and they are powerful. They're getting even more numerous. Every day their numbers go up. Every day, they have more power. They're conquering this nation. They're buying up everything. V'loy b'loshen toyar. This is not a description. This is not an adjective. This is a verb. Sigiin usikifin. Okay, it's saying the word sogi, in the nikod of sogan, is equivalent to the word sigiin usikifin. Okay, it's equivalent. There's another way, a form of the word, which means a verb. And sogan v'sokfin, instead of sigan, usikofin, is the same idea. Now he explains the kavanah. Lo shayu b'nei Yisrael be'isaihi rab mehem. He's writing over here, he's reading a very, very, very interesting thing into this concept. If you would ask me, if you told me this idea right now, this is what I would say. Okay, the Jewish people right now are just finishing. They have enormous numbers. Paro, he looks at their numbers and he says, this is a big problem. Their population is just incredible. But you know something? I can deal with it. I know how to deal with it. Even though their numbers are enormous, we'll figure out a solution. No, that was not enough. The problem was the forecast. It's not just that they're numerous today. The forecast is that tomorrow and the next day and next week and next year, they're going to totally conquer this whole country. They're going to totally knock this whole place out. That's what I would say after learning this. If I would stop right here, that's what I would say. They are currently numerous and mighty. That's a problem. It's a halbatzara. So for that problem, Paro says, no, we can work on that. But the problem is it's not just they're numerous now, they're getting even more numerous. But he goes on and he says it's not the pshat. Right now, he's learning, they're not numerous. Right now, when Paro is making this analysis, what are they? They're a fraction of 1% of this country. They're a fraction of a fraction. No need to worry. Right now, they're nothing. They're nothing. They're not, they are not numerous now. They're relative to the population of Egypt. They are not a threat at this moment. A ki hu zeh. There's nothing to be concerned about at this moment. But I look at my crystal ball. I get my reports from my data collectors. And based upon the forecast, in 5 years down the line, 10 years, 20 years, these people are going to be out of control. So it's a very big chiddush. Right now, Klal Yisrael is not even on their radar screen, if you look at the statistics of what they are right now. But Paro was a chacham. Okay? Paro was a very big chacham. He was able to look into the data, and he was able to see the fastest growing neighborhood in America. By the way, what is the fastest growing neighborhood in America? Lakewood. Okay, there are a lot of statistics about this. Lakewood is the fastest growing, the population there in Monroe and Lakewood, the population growth is just out of control. And the people in the government who pay attention to these things, if they're chachomim, I don't know what they're doing, but it's certainly on their radar screen if they're worth their salary, if they know what they're doing over here. And he writes over here, look what he writes, so he writes over here, right now, not that they were numerous at that moment in time, rather mayhem. And he says the bigger chiddush, even when they left Egypt, at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, so how many Jews were there when they left Yitzias Mitzrayim? Approximately 2.5 million Jews. We know as a fact there were 600,000 Jews over the age of 20. And according to the basic statistics of if each man is a woman, so that means if you have 600,000, it means you have 1.2 million women over the age of 20. And if you have married people of 1.2 million people over the age of 20, there has to be at least another 1.3 million people, if not even 3 million people. And the calculation that we assume there's approximately between 2.5 million to 3 million people who left Egypt. 3 million people. That, he's telling us here, was a fraction of a fraction of society. We have no idea how many people lived in Egypt. There's no way to know how many people. Did they have 100 million people? Did they have 320 million people? Like America has 300, supposedly there are 320 million people living in America. It's probably more of all the illegals that are not part of the census. So if you have, let's say, at least 350 million people, so what is the percentage of the Jews relative to Egypt when they left Mitzrayim? Didn't make a dent. It wasn't even 1%. So maybe it's 1%, practically 1%. So it didn't make much of a dent. What's the difference? The whole struggle here was because Paro was a chacham, Ezer chacham, Choreyas Melad. He saw what was coming down the line. He saw what's going to be. There was a hold in the back. The Chashash, he was concerned. What was he concerned? They're going to be Rabbi Mimenu more than him. We're going to get to him in a moment. they're going to increase. Okay, now here's the word that we have to focus on now. Mi na no. What does that mean? Perush mimenu ha'om hamitzri. Greater than him. Mimenu seems to mean it's a singular word. It's not b'loshen rabin. And over here, the targum over here seems to be explaining what the word means. Mimenu means the nation. They're going to be Ravi Otsu Mimenu from him. Who is him in the singular? It's the collective noun. The collective noun here is Ha'am Hamitzri, the nation, the Egyptian nation, which is a little bit strange, right? It's not the way we would expect, you know, a nation, you usually refer to the people of the nation, Losh Rabim. Okay, Mimano, him. Greater than him. Who's him? The nation. Aval, Rabbi Seinu, Perishu Mimenu, from him. Okay, this is where all the drashas come, because the word over here doesn't really fit well. Me'akodosh Baruch Hu. Shebe Hashva Osoi, through their influence, Heim Parim V'Rabim, they are multiplying. Parim V'Rabim, they are multiplying more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what does that mean exactly? So he writes over here, Hamilim Shabo B'Mikro B'Loshen Yachid Ad Pasuk Gimel Tirgim B'Loshen Rabim. He's going on to a different topic over here. Let's read further what it says. B'Mei Shechoyzroys Al B'Nei Yisrael V'Loy Al Hamila Am V'Ayim Asher Kosav Kosav L'Kamon. Alright, so he's not really, so he's going back to the topic that he loves to talk about, Loshen Yochid, Loshen Rabin, the past, the present. But for our purpose, he's telling us an idea which requires explanation. I don't really understand really what he means, what this Chazal means. Am Bnei Yisrael, Ravi Otsum, they are numerous and more mighty than Hashem. What? What does that mean? Klali Yisrael is more mighty than Hashem? What does that mean? First of all, Paro was in a state of Paro explicitly said, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekoiloi. Paro said, I don't know who you're talking about. When Moshe Rabbeinu presented himself before Paro and asked him, let my people go, Paro said, who are you? Who do you want? Where do you want to go? Moshe said, we want to go into the desert and offer a carbon to Hashem. Paro said, Hashem? Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekoiloi. I Googled God and there were no results. You know why there were no results? Because you censored it. Because you control the internet. You censored any mention of God in the end. That's why you can't find him on Google. According to this Mamre Chazal, we have a revelation that Paro was the biggest phony who ever lived on this world. Paro knew exactly who Hashem was. And when he said, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koiloi, that basically means, I know who Hashem is, but I'm going to make believe I don't. Everything over here, if you notice, is all about make-believe. Paro was the expert of make-believe. Asher lo yoda es Yosef. According to Rashi, Nase atzma ki'il lo yoda. Hashem, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koiloi. Oh, really? You don't know who Hashem is? Ravi Otsum, the men of the Jewish people, becoming more numerous than Hashem. That means, whatever that pasuk means, it means, but it obviously is an acknowledgement that you do know who Hashem is. What's going on over here? You know, whenever a person tells you, it's not me, it's him. This is the classic, it's just so, we learned today, V'al Yishu B'divrei Shoker. Don't talk words of sheker. What Paro meant to say was, don't talk divrei emes. When Paro says, Mi Hashem, who is Hashem? It means to say, I know who Hashem is. This is classic. It's so classic. When a person says something, you basically, what you deny, you are revealing what you're really thinking. And people who are trained in this art can read into your words everything that you're really trying to say. They can tell from your body language, and they can tell from your words, everything. And Paro is a classic example of someone who couldn't hide from the truth. Now, going back to the other issue, what is really a Ravi Otsum Menu? There's only one idea that I think, one idea what I want to suggest what he means in this Ma'amar Chazal. Again, the word Mimenu means him. Who is him? Let's just recap. Who is him? According to what we learned, it means the nation of Egypt. Then why are we calling the nation of Egypt the Lashon Yachid, him? It's the collective noun. The nations, there's one nation, and the Jew. Now, why is he referring to them in third person? That these people will become more mighty than him. Us! It's a gaiva. No, it's like when you talk to a Rebbe, you say, what does the Rebbe like? Can I bring the Rebbe a cup of coffee? Can I bring the Rebbe a chair to sit down on? Can I take the Rebbe's coat? So Paro, when he talks about his nation, he's saying they're going to become Ravi Otsum, then him. It's like a form of respect. He's respecting his nation by not saying then the nation. Or maybe he didn't want to al tiftach pel l'satan. He didn't want to say it. So he refers to the nation in this roundabout way. Number one, he calls the nation b'loshem yachid. Number two, he says something very vague. Then him. It's very very It's very disturbing. Something doesn't make sense. But that's what it says. But and the Gemara acknowledges that there's something very disturbing. The Gemara makes this incredible drasha. The word mimenu means greater than Hashem. As we explain, it's an acknowledgement that there's a creator. But what does the pasuk then mean? So I want to suggest to you to mean as follows. Paro knew that there was a gezerah. The gezerah is Yodaya Teda Ki Ger Ye Zaracha Bi Eretz Loilohem Va'avodum Ve'inuy Oysom Arba Me'oshana. Everyone in the world knew this. The Jewish people are going to be enslaved. They're going to suffer for 400 years. Paro says, we're sitting on a gold mine. We have here the Jewish people. There is a gezerah from their own ancestor. Abraham will tell them that you are going to be slaves in a land that's not yours for 400 years. What does that mean? It means ding, 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 money. Someone's going to make a profit off you. If you're going to be a slave, you're going to work for free, and someone's going to make money. We are so fortunate here in Egypt that we are the ones that are going to become billionaires from the slave labor of these people, and these people have to work for us because God said they have to. They don't have a choice. So we're fulfilling a divine mandate to enslave these people and have them work for us. Problem is, Paro says that the Klal Yisrael are becoming numerous. They're becoming, now let's learn this in a spiritual sense. They're becoming spiritual. They're becoming very great people. Perhaps they will be mispalel to Hashem to cancel the gzeirah of avodah v'inuyosam, and that will deny us from our ability to cash in on the 400 years of free slave labor. They're becoming greater than Hashem. Ravi otso mimenu, more powerful, more mighty than the, not in a negative way, in a positive way. They are going to be able to prevail upon the Ribbono shel Olam and transform the Midas Hadin to the Midas Harachamim. Ravi Otsum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have many, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, all the different Ma'amar Chazal, Hashem has great satisfaction when we prevail upon Him. Nitzchuni Bonai, Nitzchuni, Hashem has the greatest satisfaction when Hashem can say that my children have prevailed upon me. They have rose up and they overcame me. I put a gzera upon them that they have to suffer. And look what they did. They prevailed upon me and they canceled the gzera. Paro was terrified. That's exactly what's going to happen. There's a gzera of Arba Me'oshana to be slaves. We are so lucky we're going to cash in billions of dollars. Every Egyptian is going to have a slave. And the Jews are smart and they're quick they have all of the skills. It's going to be for 400 years. It's going to be incredible in this land. But we're worried that they are davening too hard. They're learning too good. And they're going to overcome Hashem. And they're going to prevail upon Hashem to cancel the gezeirah of Avodah V'inu Yosem Arba Me'o Shana. And who's going to lose? We're going to lose. Okay, so that's what it means over here. Rav V'otzum Mimenu. And that explains, by the way, why Pharaoh didn't want to kill the women. Pharaoh didn't want to kill the women. Why not? Kill everyone. Kill them all. Why didn't Pharaoh want to kill the women? Because I need the women to work. The women are the best workers. They're gonna do everything for us. And what happened over here? I'm sorry. I got a message on one of them. You still with me, everybody's saying? Are you with me? I got into trouble over here with something. Something happened on my screen. I don't know what going to happen over here.
Yeah, we see you. I see you. But I'm here. But...
Okay, what happened over here? All right. My screen somehow resumed share. Okay, here it is. Okay. Rav Yotzum, that's the Pshat Mimenu. All right. Let's finish up over here. Okay, let's now finish up. Let's do what we'll do is we'll pause very quickly. Hava nischakim alay come. What is with hava? It's not such a common word. What does it mean hava? Hava means come. Hava, we have. I don't really think of what it means. He Rashi explains. We'll see the Rashi in a moment. Hava nischakim, let us be wise, lo, concerning him. Why only him? Who's him? Hashem. Who's the loy? Let's be wise concerning Hashem. Okay, pen yerbe. V'hoye ubiki sekrede mulcham v'noisef gamu al sanenu. If there'll be, now over here he talks about something practical. If there'll be a war, v'noisef gamu al sanenu, and they will join our enemies, v'nilcham ban, will fight against us, v'Allah min aretz. What does it mean, v'Allah? They will leave? What does that mean? V'Allah min aretz? And you know, in fact, many say v'Allah means they're going to leave. We don't want them to leave. Rashi says they're going to force us to leave. Okay, let's see Rashi. So Rashi, we'll stop with the Rashi. Do the Rashi and we'll stop. So a little bit, we'll just depart the Rashi. Hava nischak b'lay kol havol v'havol l'shon hachona v'hazmana. L'davar, the word hava means preparation. Kiloymar, hazminu atzmechem l'kach, prepare. So Rashi has a very interesting translation added to the dictionary. It's not so obvious that that's the translation of this word. Hava means let us prepare. Okay, prepare. To do what? Nischak b'loy, la'am. Who is the loy? This is heavy duty stuff here. Who is the loy? Rashi learns the loy is la'am. Let us be clever regarding the nation, Jewish nation. Nischak b'ma la'asas loy to the nation. V'rabaseinu darshu, the word loy is not referring to the nation. The word loy is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. They had this tradition. They knew that Moshe would be born. Their astrologers, astronomers, whatever. They told them, they're going to tell them that there's going to be a boy is going to be born. That's going to be the Moshe Shal Shol. Let's be wise regarding low for Moshe to drown him. Because we don't have to worry about me, the connected me, because Hashem is not going to bring a Mabul to the world. They did not understand. Maybe Hashem is not in the mouth of the whole world. That's one answer. So one answer over here is the Gemara has two answers. One answer is that it's true Hashem promised it's not going to bring a mabul to the world, but Hashem can still bring a mabul to one particular nation. Or what was the other answer? Hashem won't bring the water upon the enemy. But Hashem will bring the enemy into the water. Okay, Hashem didn't take the water and bring it upon them. Hashem brought Egypt and brought them into the Yam. The Olam and Aretz, Al Karchenu, Olam means us. They're going to force us. Al Karchenu, Rav Seir, Darshu, Kadim, Shemkal, Atzmai, V'toyla, Kolosa, Bachedim, Harayu, Kira, after we go to the page, I'll have the page in front, we'll review that tomorrow, Mir Tashem. Okay, so we'll review this part of Rashi tomorrow, Mir Tashem, and we'll stop over here. Thank you very much for joining me. Have a good night, everyone. All the best to you all. Sei gesund.